Beautiful song, and we need to learn to love God no matter what our circumstances are, because He loves us through it all. I want to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans chapter 12. We've been studying for several weeks now about giving. It's more blessed to give than to receive. We really focused in on money because I think that's the hardest part for us to hear, and we've kind of wrestled through that and tried to lay some good groundwork with that. But I want you to understand today, and what we're going to try to understand today from the scriptures is that God doesn't just expect us to give a tithe of money and go on about our business. He doesn't expect us to just give a little penance of our time by showing up on Sunday morning, but He wants us to give all of ourselves to Him because He gave all of Himself to us. And we've tried to make it easy. We try to break it down into bite-sized parts for our brains, and it helps. I think it does. We talk about giving our time, giving our talents, and giving our treasures. Then we have to take the time to explain that in the Bible, talents is a form of money, but we talk about talents as far as abilities or gifts to be able to do things, and then we talk about our treasure, our money. I think that those things are important, but I want you to understand today that Jesus Christ gave all of Himself to us. And it's staggering to consider that God Himself became a man, gave Himself for us. And when we consider that today, that it'll bring us to a place of commitment to give everything to Him. And so if you're able, let's stand together. We're going to read here in Romans chapter 12, just two verses to begin today. Romans 12, verse 1. Please listen to the Word of God this morning. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our Heavenly Father, as we look into your word today, I pray your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we would be real and honest before you today. As you convict our hearts about the things that are lacking in our lives and our commitment, Lord, that you would just help us to yield ourselves completely to you. Father, everything that we have, every good gift has come from you, and we praise you for it. And Lord, I pray that we would turn it back to you in a life of praise and thanksgiving, because it only makes sense that we would give everything to the one who gave everything for us. Please help me from nothing without you. Bless your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. Jesus gave everything. In verse 1, he says it's our reasonable service to give our bodies a living sacrifice. And in other words, he says, I want you to give yourself to God. And it only makes sense to do that because he gave everything for us. He fulfilled the perfect will of his Father, how he was supposed to, when he was supposed to, with what he was supposed to. And we ought to honor him by striving to do the same with our lives. Now, we know that we only have a certain amount of time on earth. God has numbered our days. Now, we don't know the number of them, but we ought to number our days in the sense that we ought to understand our time is limited. And we ought to redeem the time that we have because the days are evil. We need to use the brief time that we have to fulfill the purposes of God in our lives. I'm not here to fulfill my purposes. I'm here on this planet to fulfill his purposes that he has placed in me. I'm fully persuaded that God has gifted every person in the local church with a certain number of gifts. And we might call those talents or abilities, whatever words you want to use. But you need to be careful today not to downplay the existence of your gifts or the extent of your talents. Otherwise, you might insult the giver of those gifts. Now, here in Romans 12, that's exactly what it goes into. Give your life to God because it only makes sense. And when we consider that reasonable service, I think that's born out of a heart of thanksgiving to God. We're constrained by the love of Christ because He died for all were dead. And we ought to understand that from this moment on, henceforth, that we ought to live for the one who died for us and rose again. So it's only reasonable. It's born out of love. And then we get our mind. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it has to do with your heart. It has to do with your mind. It has to do with your life, your reasonable service, that you're a living sacrifice. And so every part of us given to Him because He gave everything for us. And here in Romans 12, he goes on to talk about the fact that in the body, in the church, that He's given gifts to everyone. He's given us talents and abilities. And I just hear people all the time, we talk about that. Well, I don't really have any abilities. I can't do this and I can't do that. Listen, that's an insult to God. Number one, it's a lie because He said He's given gifts to everyone. He's given gifts to everyone. You don't need to worry about not having the gift someone else has. You shouldn't be jealous of their gifts. What you need to do is find your gifts and use it to the glory of God. Be careful saying you don't have any gifts. Be careful saying you don't have as much of a gift. That's an insult to God. He's given you exactly what He intended to give you. We ought to strive to use the God-given talents we have to fulfill the purposes of God in our lives with the time we have. We've been studying for several weeks that God's blessed each one of us with varying degrees of treasures, of money and possessions, and it ought to be our pleasure to give of the treasures that God has given us on this earth to fulfill the purposes of God in our lives. So it's about our heart, it's about our mind, it's about our bodies, our lives, it's about our time, it's about our talents, it's about our treasures, it's about taking everything that Christ has given you and giving it back to Him in service. In your bulletin, you might have noticed 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm fully persuaded that made in the image of God as He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He has given us three distinct parts of our nature. That we have this spirit, that's the pneuma, the breath of God that He's put in us, and it makes us unique as human beings. We're not like the rest of the animals in the world. Contrary to what the evolutionists would have you believe, you're not just some evolved protoplasm. You're not like a chimpanzee, though you may act like one. And though you may smell like one from time to time, you're not. Because God has put the breath of life into man. He's given man a spirit, and we're different. And we have a spirit. We have a soul. He talks about the soul there. That Greek word is psuche. It's the word we get psyche from. And not only do you have a spirit in you, but you have a mind that God has given you, a consciousness that God has given you. And you've got that spirit, and you've got that soul or that mind, and you've got a body, right? Which may be all that's present here right now. Mind and spirit may be elsewhere at this very moment. But I submit to you that God has given us these different distinct parts of our character, our nature, who He has made us, and every one of them ought to be fully devoted to Christ. And I think that it's important for us to consider His unspeakable gift. Because when we consider His unspeakable gift, then it will cause us to commit to unconditional giving to Him. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says just that, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Jesus Christ gave Himself wholly to us. I want you to consider these verses, and I'll try to give you time to find them or get them on the screen at least. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 3 through 6. We consider His unspeakable gift. If we're we're considering it to be our reasonable service to give ourselves completely to him. Why is that? Well, because he gave himself to us. Look here, 1 Timothy 2:3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, friends, I know most of you have read those verses many times over, but let it sink down into your ears today that God, who created the universe, gave himself a ransom for you. He gave himself a sacrifice. Listen, it was like you were in a hostage situation, and Jesus said, "Take me." And he lets all humanity go free, and he says, "I'll die in your place." And we need to understand today how big that is. Because I promise, no matter how well you think you understand it, our understanding is too small of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ when he gave himself for all. Friends, it ought to be like a spiritual punch in the gut this morning when you think about what Jesus Christ did for you. It ought to just hit us in our hearts to know that he gave himself. There's only one man in the history of the world, the history of the universe, one man who did not deserve to die. You say, what about Adam, right? He was created perfect. He was created sinless, right? And he was, but then he sinned. And therefore death came upon him. The sentence of death was on him because he sinned. Every human being, every man that's ever lived deserved death. There's only been one who didn't deserve to die. And that one gave himself as a ransom for you. For your mama and your daddy. For your husband or your wife. For your children or your grandchildren. For your neighbor. For the president and the vice president and their families. For the people on the liberal side of the aisle and the people on the conservative side of the aisle. For the people who believe in God and country, and the people who hate God and hate our country. For the people who love you and the people who think you're a bigot just for being in this building today. Christ gave himself a ransom for all. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Jesus Christ gave himself, and he gave himself for a purpose. It teaches us. The grace of God teaches us that we ought to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We shouldn't keep giving in to those wicked desires, that lust that's conceived, that brings forth sin. We shouldn't give in to that. We should deny those things. And we ought to live soberly. That's having a right mind. By the way, can't do that if you're smoking weed all the time. Just throw that in there for free. You can't do that if you're drunk all the time. I got news for you, though, dear friend. It goes far beyond soberness. This goes to a sober mind. And listen, you can't have a sober mind if you're always filling your mind with the frivolities of this life. With TV and movies and music and the things of this world, keep filling your mind with that. You're not sober-minded. You keep filling your mind with that junk, you're no better than others who would be drunk or high. It's the same. It's the same. And so he talks about our mind being sober. He says, I want you to live righteously. I want you to do the right things. Do good. do what's right. We get our mind right, we get our heart right. And then we live godly. We do the things that are of God. We follow the things that are of God in this present world. And we do that because we're looking for Jesus. I told you about 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit and your whole soul and your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, 1 Thessalonians 5 is all about the second coming of Christ. He's coming again. And because he's coming again, pray without ceasing. Because he's coming again, give thanks always in all things. Because he's coming again, be sanctified wholly. And what is sanctified? It means to be set apart. The priests were sanctified. They were set apart for the ministry. The things that were used in the tabernacle and the temple worship were sanctified. They were set apart for a specific purpose. And friends, God wants you to be sanctified. Every part of you. To be set apart. That's what we're talking about. Giving yourself completely to Him. And when you consider what Christ has done, because He gave Himself for us so that He could redeem us, so He could buy us back, so He could save us from all of our sins, it ought to motivate us to give ourselves to Him completely. I want you to know that Jesus, when He came, He gave Himself. He gave His heart. Have you ever considered the heart of Jesus? When He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. He was moved with compassion on them. Because when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. The heart of Jesus Christ was for mankind to be saved. He had a heart. His heart was in it. Listen, I promise you that there's not one in the room, myself included, that could say that even today, even so far today, through our connection groups, our Sunday school classes, our worship so far, you can't honestly say that your heart's been in it the whole time. Can you? Jesus' heart was in it from beginning to end. His heart was never disengaged. He always did everything for the love of the Father and the love of mankind. His heart was always in it. He was moved with compassion. He was driven by that compassion. He had a heart. He had a love for God and for man. And friends, we ought to be the same way today. We ought to have a love for God. I hope that's why you're here. I hope you're not just here because your wife nagged you to death. I hope these young people that are here not just because their parents made them, but because they wanted to come worship their Savior. If your heart's not in it, friend, the answer is not to stay home because your heart's not in it. The answer is to get your heart in it. Listen, if your heart's not in it, you need to repent. I hope that when you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do when you come to consciousness is thank God for another day and thank God that Jesus Christ saved you. And you get into the Word of God, not because you have to, but because you love Him. And that love for Him leads to a love for the lost. When you start to see people, listen, the harvest truly is plenteous. There are lots and lots of people that don't know Jesus. There's a place in Asia and North Africa and that part of the world, like the majority of the world's population lives in that area, that they call it the 1040 window, between the 10th and the 40th parallels. They say there's over 5 billion people in that area of the world and that almost none of them have ever heard the name of Jesus. I can't even begin to think that. I mean, I start reading numbers like you read in your Bible about 120,000 people being slain by Gideon and his army. 120, I can't even wrap my mind around that. I've been to a couple of OU football games and there's about 78 to 80,000 people in that stadium. That's insane to see that amount of people. Brother Brian tells me about a time he went to a huge fly-in. It's called Oshkosh, and there were, when he was there, over 1 million people were there. 1 million bodies. I mean, that's a sea of people. 1 million people? You can't even imagine that. I didn't get to go this year. Last year we went to the walk around at Stillwater. Tens of thousands of people. It's just a sea of people. When we came down the hill, you could just see people as far as you could see down every street. Just bodies. Billions of people who've never heard of Jesus. Millions of people in Oklahoma who are not saved. Thousands of people in Sequoia County who are not saved. Thousands, I submit to you, right here in Mulder, Oklahoma, who have never genuinely been born again. Friend, we ought to be moved with compassion. We ought to pray for laborers. And I'll tell you one more time, the reason that most of you don't want to pray for laborers is because you're not one. And you got a little bit of pride in you that says, I can't pray for someone else to do what I'm not willing to do. Can I just say to you this morning one more time, the answer is not to stop praying for laborers, but it's to be a laborer. Amen. To take the gospel, to carry your gospel tracts, and to tell your neighbor about Jesus and your coworker and your classmates. Listen, some of you teenagers have been saved a long time and you've never talked to your friends about Jesus. That ought to bother you. Listen, we probably won't make it through another year without one of your classmates dying. It happens every year. We see a 14, 15, 16-year-old that passes into eternity. And you think just because we live in Sequoia County in the Bible Belt that they're automatically saved? That's nonsense. We have churches filled in our county with people who don't know Jesus. There are people in the pews in this room right now that aren't saved. Friends, we've got to wake up. We got to be moved with compassion. And how can we say that we love them if we're not willing to take the gospel to them? Even lost people understand that. You heard before, and I've told you before, I think Brother Scott told you again, Penn Jillette said, how much do you have to hate somebody not to give them the gospel? If you think people who die without Jesus go to hell, how much would you have to hate them to not tell them? Jesus' heart was in it, friends. And our hearts ought to be in it too. He gave his heart, he gave his mind, his will. Jesus prayed in the garden. Matthew 26, verse 38. Matthew 26, verse 37. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus Christ's mind, his will, was given for us. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood because he was in great agony as he prayed. Listen, he gave his heart to you. He gave his mind and his will to you. And he gave his body. Matthew 26, 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And Jesus Christ gave his blood, he gave his body, he gave all. And when you consider his unspeakable gift, it ought to drive you to commit to unconditional giving. You see, the principle is the same. Whether it's your time, your talents, or your treasures, God has given to you. God is the one who's increased you. God's the one who's given to you. And because he's increased you, we ought to have a readiness of mind. We ought to have a purpose in our heart. We ought to have a faithfulness in our life to give back to him. We give to him. We give ourselves to him. We give our time, our talents, our treasures, our heart, our mind, our body. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5 says, "And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." We consider our text. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Give yourself to Him. See, there's a danger, and I tried to bring this out last week. We talked about the tithe. I believe the tithe is the Lord's. I gave you a biblical case for that last time. The tithe was before the law. It was during the law. I believe it's after the law. The tithe is the Lord. I don't think you give tithes, you pay tithes. You owe that to God. And I think that's a great place to start. You got to start somewhere. You start giving your tithes, and then you grow in your faith and in your faithfulness. You give more, give above your tithe. That's offerings. But there's a danger in that. Because I think people get the idea that I give God 10%, that's His, and the rest is mine to do whatever I want to with. I want you to know that it's all His. The same Bible that says the tithe is the Lord's says also the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. It's not that you just kind of tip your hat to Him, give Him the tithe, and then do whatever you want to with the rest of it. It doesn't work that way. It's all His. Amen. And we're to be good stewards of everything. And see, the other danger with that is when you talk about time, talents, and treasures, and you give your talents and your treasures to the Lord, you give your money to God, people try to transfer that same ideology to everything else, and they do this. They think, as long as I show up to church on Sunday morning, I've given God His time. Now the rest of the time is mine to do with whatever I want to. Friends, it's not so. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You have liberty. You can spend your time or squander your time. You have liberty to do that. But brethren, you've been called under liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. We're just stewards. Managers of what God's put in our care, our time, our talents, our treasure. And friends, it's our privilege and our responsibility to use what God's given us for His glory. So what are you saying, preacher? I've got to read my Bible all the time, pray all the time, never do anything else? No. I think you ought to go to work. I think you ought to take care of your family. I think you ought to take good care of the things God's given to you. That all of that takes time, all that takes money. But what I'm trying to tell you is, in everything that you do with your time, you acknowledge God in it. You be a witness. Be faithful. Understanding that what you do, you're not serving men, but you're serving God. He's our master. Not with eye service as men pleasers. We're faithful to be servants of God. I think it's interesting, people think that if I just give my time on Sunday, I've done my Christian duty. Let's just say that on average you get up about 6 o'clock, and on average you go to bed around 10. Does anybody live like that? 8 hours of sleep? Some of you go to bed at 2 a.m. and get up at 1 p.m. Some of you go to bed at 8 o'clock at night and get up at 4:30. But let's just say that on average, you have about 16 waking hours a day. That's 112 hours, waking hours a week. And let's say that you feel like you've done God a great favor by showing up for Sunday morning worship. Did you know that that's less than 1% of your waking hours? Less than 1%. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm a lot better than that. I come to Sunday school." That's good. That's just under 2%. You're super faithful. Sunday night crowd, you come on Sunday nights. That's impressive. That's 2.7% of your waking hours. And some of you are above and beyond. You come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, the whole time. Every time the doors are open, you're here. You've given 3.5% of your time to God. Don't hurt yourself patting yourself on the back. You see, we think that we've done God some great favor. I want to tell you, if your attitude is when you come here that you've done God a great favor and you're doing your Christian duty, you're not accomplishing anything. God's not impressed. He's not pleased. We come here with the heart of gratitude. We come here not trying to just check something off a list and do the bare minimum. We come here with a heart that says, I want to do more. I want to give more. I want to serve more. I want to be used more for the glory of God. I got news for you. My dear brothers and sisters, listen to me. I love you, and I want you to please hear me. Because this attitude is in the hearts of so many good missionary Baptist people I know. Listen to me. Your service for God is not showing up at church when the doors are open. It is living for Christ every moment of every day. It's not going to church, it's being the church. Do you hear me? Jesus gives us every breath we take. And every breath is His. Amen. Friends, that's why out of the same mouth shouldn't come forth blessing and cursing. It ought not to be so. Why? Because He gave you the breath to say those things. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Can I just challenge you today? Pray without ceasing. Spend time in the Word of God every day, morning and night. And don't stop praying. Give out gospel tracts everywhere you go. Boldly and lovingly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to anyone who will listen. And don't stop praying. Use the talents and abilities God has given you to serve Him in His church. And don't stop praying. Pay your tithes. Give your offerings to the Lord through the church. Give help to those who are in need. And don't stop praying. Give to the building fund. Give to missionaries. And don't stop praying. Give your heart to the one who gave His heart to you. Keep your mind on the one who kept His mind on you. Live your life for the one who gave His life for you. This morning we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation, and while they're coming, I'd like you to look with me to Hebrews 12. Just as a side note, invitation time's not time to put your Bible up. Before you go out the door, you can do that. Hebrews 12, look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Friends, don't quit. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Give every part of you to Him who gave everything for you. Let's stand together this morning. I know there are some among us who've never been born again, and I plead with you today that today you would understand what Christ did for you, that you would turn away from your sin to Jesus. He loves you so much. He gave everything for you. And if you will come to Him in repentance and faith, He will give you everlasting life. He will take away your sin forever. He will give you a right standing before God. He will put His righteousness on you. He'll give you life everlasting if you'll just repent and trust in Him today. And for those who are saved, if you are being called of God to be a part of this local church, I pray that you quit messing around. Just come on. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you're coming from a sister church. Whatever it is, if the Holy Spirit of God is leading you to be a part of this body, then make that decision today. He wants you to serve Him in the church. If you're saved, you're in the church, but you've not been giving everything to Jesus, you need to repent today. Any unconfessed, unrepented sin, whatever you've been holding back, your time, your talents, your treasures, your heart, your mind, your lifestyle, whatever it is, give it all to Jesus Christ today.